Well, we're going to continue studying the life of Daniel here. Ask you to grab your copy of God's Word. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Verse 21 is where we'll start, and then we're going to skip over to chapter 5. And we've been looking at this man's life who has 70 years. Would the church say with me 70 years? More than 70 years. Come on, I know we got our coffee early this morning. Let's try one more time. He spent what? 70 years of a life of influence and impact, and we want to be able to glean from him some nuggets that we can apply to our own lives. Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. If you're having trouble finding the book of Daniel, I want to encourage you to go to the table of contents to locate where the book of Daniel is in your Bible. And I want to encourage you to put your eyes on God's word for yourself. Daniel 1, verse 21 says, "And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king, all the way from the beginning of the exile to the end." And then skip over with me to Daniel chapter 5, and we're going to start reading at verse 13. Daniel chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 13. And it says, "Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? Now I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom has been found where?'" Where? "In you." There we go. Come on, stick with me now. "Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me, that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I personally have heard about" who? "I have personally heard about you, that you are able to give interpretations and solve" what type of problems? "Difficult problems. Now, if you are able to read the inscription and make its interpretation known to me, you will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will have authority as the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Keep your gifts for yourself or give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. O king, the most high God granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your father, because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him. All the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whomever he wished, he killed. Whomever he wished, he spared alive. Whomever he wished, he elevated. Whomever he wished, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was dispossessed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from mankind, and his heart was made like that of beasts, and his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass to eat like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he recognized that the Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind, and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. Yet you, his son, Belshazzar, has not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this, but you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines have been drinking wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand, but the God in whose hand are your life breath and all your ways you have not glorified." Then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. Now this is the inscription that was written out: Mimi, Mimi, Tekel, Upsarin. And this is the interpretation of the message: meaning God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave orders, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a necklace of gold around his neck and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now had authority as the third ruler in the kingdom. That same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. Oh, my God. Are y'all reading this? One day he got promoted. The same day, the guy who promoted him, his life came to an end. Y'all stick with me. We going somewhere. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. Let's go over to chapter 6 and verse 5 is where we're going to end. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over how much of the kingdom? Come on, y'all stick with me. How much of the kingdom? The whole kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." This morning, family, I want to talk about how you lead matters. How you lead matters. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father and our great God, we are so grateful and thankful for your mercy, your loving kindness towards us. It is simply because of your mercies we have not been consumed. And this morning, Lord, on this rainy day that you have made, we need to hear from you today. Pray now, Lord, you will continue to unstop our ears, remove the scales from our eyes, allow for us to behold the wonders of your word. May we be transformed by it. Would you today draw some sinner to yourself? Would you today, Lord, draw the backslider back to yourself? And would you today encourage the believer? Do it now for your glory and for our good. In the strong and matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Question I got for you is this. Imagine being 37 years old and being entrusted with the responsibility of leading one of the greatest organizations in our world. Well, that's the story of Satya Nadella. He became the CEO of Microsoft in 2014. And this was at a time when Microsoft was not failing, but it had lost much of its momentum. Inside the company, many people described the culture as competitive, political, and divided. Teams often competed against one another instead of working together. And Nadella didn't begin his leadership by making flashy announcements or demanding attention. Instead, he focused on changing the culture. He emphasized humility over ego, learning over knowing, collaboration over competition, and people over personal success. And one of the reasons he often gives for this approach is because of the influence of raising his son, who was born with significant disabilities. He said that this experience reshaped how he viewed leadership, not as power over people, but as serving people with empathy. And over time, Microsoft experienced remarkable growth, innovation, and accelerated employee culture improved. The company regained its place as one of the world's most influential technology companies. And the question you and I have to ask is, what changed? It wasn't simply a new strategy, it was a different kind of leader. Because how you lead actually matters. The truth is that every one of us is leading someone. Whether we realize it or not, you may not be a CEO, a pastor, or a manager, or a leader, but if you're 16 years old, someone is watching you, and they're learning and observing how you treat your friends, your teammates, your classmates, or even your younger siblings. And if you're in your 20s or 30s, your coworkers, your spouse, your children, or the people you serve are being shaped by your example. Because leadership isn't reserved for people with titles. Leadership is about influence. And influence begins long before you receive a position. And in Daniel chapter 5, today we get a chance to see a man who is much older. Kings have come and gone. Empires are now changing. Yet before Daniel even opens his mouth, this king already knows about who he is. Again, the question you and I got to ask is why? It's because Daniel has committed himself to spending a lifetime of being a person of integrity. I'm glad today that we got both young and those a little bit more mature in the room today, that those of you who are teenagers will begin to start to think and plan and execute with the end in mind. You want to be known as a person of integrity. You want to be a person who has a long tenure of success and influence. And so here in Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, the first thing we learn from this passage today is that your reputation will precede you. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 13, it says here that Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king said to Daniel, "I've heard of you. Are you that Daniel who my father brought in from Judah?" Do you hear that? Long before this king had ever met Daniel, Daniel's reputation had already entered the room. Because your reputation is built through consistent faithfulness. Daniel had served faithfully for decades. His integrity had become widely known. And his reputation wasn't created overnight. Listen to me well. Your reputation is built daily. And so because of this, you and I have to remember that your gifts may open doors, but your character can keep them closed. And Belshazzar knew Daniel's name before meeting him. Others had recognized the spirit of God in his life, and his reputation created opportunities for him. Remember this, Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches." So the question I have for you today is, what will people say about you if they introduce you today? And is your reputation built on talent or integrity? Because your reputation speaks before you ever say a word. The second thing this passage shows you and I from Daniel chapter 5, verses 17 through 28, is that you got to speak truth to power no matter their position. Here is Daniel. Could you see him? Standing before the most powerful man in the then known world with a tailor-made message that he quite possibly did not want to hear. See, you and I have to have such strong convictions that we believe that godly leaders cannot be bought. Did you hear that today? Because here is the king saying to Daniel beforehand, if you interpret this message, I'm going to provide to you with wealth and prestige. I'm going to give to you power unheard of, and you're not related to me. But all I want you to do is just tell me the truth. And some of us are willing to buckle under the pressure to feel that we need to give someone a modified message instead of telling them God's truth. I got to emphasize that, because everyone is saying, using terms now, like my truth. Well, last time I checked, Jesus made it clear that he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no personal truth. Jesus is the truth. This book from Genesis to Revelation is the truth. And you and I have got to tell people the truth. And here is Daniel, because he stood strong in his convictions. He rejected the king's gifts. He refused to let rewards influence his message. Because truth is not determined by someone's title. Daniel confronted this man's pride. How many of us have such strong convictions, you're really willing to tell your boss the truth about themselves? Can I tell you today that I love this saying that the founding pastor of my church often would say, and I found it to be so true. He would say, people can only do the best they can with the minds that they have. And someone has to hold up the mirror for them to see themselves. And here's Daniel, strong in his convictions. He's willing to hold up the mirror to show, listen to me well, another generation that is replicating the behavior that was modeled before them. Are you seeing this today, church? That the example you set will become the model that someone else follows. Daniel had these unknown hidden figures that modeled a life of godliness for him. And then therefore, in the latter stages of his life, he models godliness. And here on the flip side is a man who's grown up in power and his father has modeled a behavior of corruption and dishonoring God. And therefore, another generation does the same thing. But Daniel says, I can't be bought. I'm going to tell the truth to power, no matter what it costs. He had to remind him of his father's failure. He had to declare God's judgment without fear. Because courage comes from, listen to me well, courage comes from fearing God more than people. The word of God says to you and I, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it like waters however he chooses. I would rather be afraid of the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand than the king himself. And so Daniel respected the king, but he obeyed God above the king. Because you and I got to have the same type of swagger like Peter and the apostles that say, we're going to obey God rather than listen to man. Because leadership requires having difficult conversations. Never sacrifice truth to preserve comfort. Speak with conviction and compassion. Because real leaders tell people what they need to hear, not merely what they want to hear. But thirdly, this passage shows you and I that you and I are called to be people of influence. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, look at this here. Daniel had just he had just solved a major problem and reaped the reward, and in less than 24 hours, it was all taken away. How many adults are there in here that have worked really hard on a project? I mean, worked for someone else, and just when you thought you were in good graces, that you're on the upward trajectory of your career with that organization or company, the person you relied on to be the voice for you moves to another company, moves into a different position. And immediately it feels like all your hard work, all that kissing up you did, all those nice, come on, y'all be honest in God's house today. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm pastoring a church. I've been telling people, listen, when you come to God's house and people ask you how you're doing, it's okay to say I'm doing horrible. My week was piss poor. Are y'all okay with that kind of talk? Because there are way too many of us walking around with a mask on like it's, oh, yeah, today it's great. I'm blessed and highly favored. That's great and all that. But some days you're not. But here in this case here with Daniel, Daniel was this man. Could you imagine he quite possibly was could have been disappointed if he put his hope in a person instead of God? Man, listen to me today, church. If you always keep your hope in God instead of in people, you'll never be disappointed. Because I read somewhere in Romans 8 and 28, God still causes all things to work together for the good. The things that look favorable along with the things that can appear to be disappointing, you are right on track where you're supposed to be. And for Daniel, here it is. He was such a person of influence that when a new administration stepped into place, guess who they sought out first? Daniel. Church, do you see this? Here is a young man earlier on. He did the hard work of preparation. He prepared himself well. He honored God earlier on in his life. And God is the one who caused him to stand out. Are you hearing me today? Young ladies that are in here, you don't need to shorten your clothing. You don't need to wear anything tighter or more fitting. You don't have to flirt with someone to get ahead. All you got to do is just honor God. Brothers that are in here today, you don't need to compromise your character integrity. Just honor God. You don't need to kiss up to no one. You don't need to get your resume passed around the room. Just honor God and he'll allow your name to be spoken in places that you've never been in before. And such is the case with Daniel. New administration comes in. This king recognizes, because listen to me well, great leaders understand they can't do everything. They got to delegate responsibility. Lord Jesus, I pray somebody got that today. You can't do everything. You can't be in every place. You got to delegate responsibility. And also, too, listen to me well. This really helped me tremendously. Micromanaging is not a bad word. When you're shifting culture, you got to help other people understand this is the expectation. Until you get on board, I'm going to micromanage you like a puppet until you get in line. Okay, all right. Y'all don't like that kind of talk, but I'm going to just keep on reading the Bible anyway. But here in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, here is this man, Daniel, being called on, and he wasn't the king. Yet kings depended on his wisdom. And his influence outlasted political transitions because influence grows through excellence. And Daniel, he distinguished himself as a person of excellence. Do you see this in verse 3, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3? The Bible says he had an extraordinary spirit. You may call him a person who got caught up in the details because he understood that every move he made and how he led people and how he talked to people, listen to me well, it was not simply a reflection of him. He was nothing but a reflection that points people to his heavenly Father. You ought to do your work as unto the Lord. Oh, man. That means when no one else is watching, you still do it at a high level because you're doing it for God. Y'all, listen to me well, teenagers, those of you in college, don't go to school and get senioritis at those latter stages. Work hard as it is unto the Lord. And for Daniel, he did this here. And what happened was his influence continued to grow because our Heavenly Father is a good steward with his resources. And he promotes people who are faithful. And look at this here. His actions, both publicly and privately, were affirming where God's next move was going to take him. I pray you set your eyes here on it. And Daniel chapter 3, look at this. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And look at this. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. You don't know who is watching you and what plans they have for you. That consistency is key. God needs people who honor him and honor his word in every position. God, that's why I said to you before, you were struggling to say it 2 days ago. You are capable and have the capacity to serve in the highest levels of leadership around. But it all starts with, are you willing to believe it? And if you believe it, you ought to have convictions that show that you believe it. So you and I got to remember, you got to let your light shine before men. And lastly, two things. I'm going to drop them. I'm not going to push them. Well, actually, one thing I'm going to drop it is how you handle people matters. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Daniel's enemies, they had examined his life, but they could not find any corruption. Although others were jealous of Daniel, there was no evidence that Daniel retaliated or mistreated them. He led with integrity instead of resentment. Now, some of us may not be keeping up with what's going on here, but Daniel's been working for the people who separated him from his own family. Are y'all hearing me with this? And how many of us, if we would be honest, If we were Daniel, would you not be trying to find some way, somehow, I'm going to get my lick back? Oh, man, y'all stop acting like you've been walking with God all your life. There's quite a few of us in here that when others have gotten over on us, I'm getting my lick back some way, somehow. It might not be against you, but it's going to be somebody tied to you. And here is a sign that God, listen to me well, I want to say this to a few of you all. Here is the true sign that God's spirit has been doing a work in you. When you look back over your life and you say, I remember when I would have did dot, dot, dot.